Hello and welcome to Gaming News Weekly. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Matt.
Well, back, Matt. It's been a pretty quiet week, actually, but for once, and I'm looking at the show notes, and unless this is incorrect, I think I've played more games than you this week, Matt.
Yeah, it's been a slow week news-related. There has been a lot of game announcement information kind of going on, but I think the biggest news, like you said, is that you have actually outplayed me in the amount of games this week. I am surprised, and I have no doubt that our listeners are more surprised of the fact that you played more games than I have.
As am I. I'm still surprised that I managed to fit as many games in as I have, varied amounts of time in them, but you know, I think really wanting to get hold of some of these games and sink my teeth into them. Some I'll be able to talk about quite a bit, others not so much. But we've had a lot of news this week. EA's gone and ruined another studio. He's trying desperately to recover the reputation of him and his friends. BlizzCon, Nintendo Direct. There's a lot to dive into, isn't there, Matt? So we're just going to jump straight on in. Matt, what have you been playing?
So, like I already mentioned, I haven't been playing a whole lot, and two of the games are games that I have already talked about countless amount of times. The first one's Rainbow Six Siege. I'm not going to go deep into that because we're going to save a few games. This is a first for the podcast. There's going to be more than one game coming from both of us for later on in this section. But Rainbow Six Siege, it's been a long staple between Gareth and I, and we're going to talk more about that. I've also been putting more time into Immortals. Gareth and I have realized that we both kind of fudged our numbers, our time that we played into Immortals last week. So we both were reporting around 35-ish, 37 hours or so of game time. We definitely overestimated. We were off by about 10 hours, you know. Tomato, tomato, same thing, same difference. But
it does explain why when we originally set it, this podcast was only going to be a 15-minute sit-down. And look at us, it's an hour and a half later.
So we both have about, I have around 25, 26 hours. What, you got 27, 28, closer to 30 now, officially?
It's closer to 30 now, yeah. Officially yeah.
So, Mortals is still ringing true for both of us. It's still taking a lot of our time away. Now, the other two games I'm going to mention, one I'm not going to touch on too much. I'm sure the listeners, as much as Gareth, is not surprised. I ended up getting Call of Duty Cold War. What a surprise, right?
And I think that's enough. Next game.
Yeah. I got it for a discount. I'm not really going to touch much on it because I have not put much time into it. I haven't touched single player, haven't touched the zombies. I've only played the multiplayer so far. And I have some thoughts on it, but I don't think it would be right for me to put a lot of... I haven't really formulated a good thought on how I feel about it yet. So I'm going to wait for that for a later week. And the other game is, surprisingly, Lost Planet 2. A throwback back to the Xbox 360 days. It's the Games for Gold right now. It's free. And playing it, I realized at first the game is actually very beautiful graphics-wise for the time that it came out. I remember when it came out, it was beautiful. And even now, even with the water effects, it still looks really good for the time being. The controls feel well, but there are some aspects of it that feel dated. Capcom, during that time frame, they put out Lost Planet, Monster Hunter, Dead Rising. One of the things that all those games kind of had in common was like there was an animation lock. If you got hit, your character would be like thrown and roll, and if the enemy was able to hit you again, you would get thrown back into that animation and you would be locked in that animation, not being able to do anything. And I have found out that Lost Planet 2 was part of that problem. These monsters were able to hit me and I just kept rolling. I would get up, I would get hit again and keep rolling. So it was slightly infuriating. So there's some dated gameplay concepts. But I enjoyed it. The game, the shooting, the killing was absolutely fun. And there is almost a Monster Hunter-like aspect to it, because Lost Planet 2 really, it brought in the co-op of four different players being able to play through these missions together. They had like the boss, these boss, I don't even know what they're called, Acrid, I think, something like that. These boss monsters that you have to attack all these different weak spots. And you're able to get different guns, different gears, all from playing through these situations multiple times. So it had a really awesome Monster Hunter aspect and a fun gameplay. And it's actually quite enjoyable. I don't know if I'm going to put more time into it. I'm still putting a little more into it right now, but I don't think it's going to be a long stay just because there are still some dated aspects of it. The levels are much shorter and much smaller than I remember. The gameplay locks. It is a game of its time, but what it really invigorated in me is I would love to see another Lost Planet. I never got to play Lost Planet 3. I played all, I 100% in Lost Planet 1. I played Lost Planet 2, like I said. I never played the third one, but I heard that was the weakest one of the trio. But it really just reinvigorated me that Capcom's been doing really well with their games. Devil May Cry, they killed it. They're killing it with the Resident Evil. I would really like for them to come back and try something different, to try something new with this Lost Planet and see what they can do with their more updated modern games. So that's really all that I've been playing. Not much, a lot actually. So Gareth, I'm gonna toss it over to you. You're gonna actually probably take a little more time than I usually do now.
Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, naturally, continuing to play Immortals and being really, really enjoying this game. I mean, we've touched on it quite a bit, and I mentioned to Matt yesterday on stream while we were streaming Siege that actually I'm at a point where I've collected quite a lot of stuff. I mean, my character's health bar is almost the width of my Switch screen. It's ridiculous. So actually, now that I've started maybe looking at some of the story missions, I'm a bit overpowered to say the least. It's like it comes up with a warning before you're about to enter, a difficult enemy. It warns you, make sure you've got enough health, you've got enough potions, you've got enough all this, that, and the other. And it's like, bro, I can have like 14 potions on me of each potion. I am good.
I'm good.
Like, I'm good. I've got Athena's blessing. So if you get me down to one hit, that's fine. I'll get all my health back. Oh, and I've got all my potions too. And the grind there. So I did maybe warn Matt a little bit that there is actually a risk we may not necessarily be enjoying the game as much on the basis of it's not really going to be very difficult. But, I'm still loving the game. And like Matt said, we'll probably talk about it a bit more later. I do want to add one little caveat to everything. Still love this game. Still think it's incredible. I unfortunately appear to have encountered a glitch on this save, which I cannot seem to get out of, which is during cutscenes. And most importantly, during the most important story cutscenes, I cannot hear the characters talking. Well, let me rephrase that. I can't hear Phoenix, the character you play, and whichever god I'm talking to in that particular cutscene, I cannot hear them. If Zeus and Prometheus talk, hear them clear as day. I have no idea what's happening in the story because I can't hear it and I can't read the subtitles because the subtitles go past so fast that you can't even read them. And you miss some of the jokes and stuff. So I'm a bit, I've tried to look up to see if there's anybody else experiencing this. I haven't seen any evidence of it. I can't seem to get out of it. It's the same on the handheld as well as the TV. So I'm hoping it gets fixed.
Have you experienced this with any other games on the Switch?
Yes, so before the show, I was explaining to Matt that I did experience this with South Park: Stick of Truth. This was a known glitch within the Switch game, where it would not, funnily enough, into the Ubisoft game, where when the game was on TV mode in the dock, there was no sound, there was no voice sound basically on the game. So any character spoke, there was nothing. There was music, there was effect noises from, attacks and the sort, but there was no voiceover. If you put it into handheld mode, however, you could hear everything absolutely fine. If you put headphones in, you could hear absolutely everything fine. So it's a bit frustrating, this. I was going to send an angry tweet to Ubisoft, but they probably wouldn't read it. So anyway, I don't want to get too down about it because I still love the game, and I'm sure this is a glitch other people have had, and it will get fixed. I hope so.
Hopefully,
Listen out
yeah.
for that one. Yeah, and there'll be more Immortals later. Another game I've been playing is a game called Cloudpunk. So this is not Cyberpunk
I was about to say, it's
2077's
not
sequel.
Cyberpunk.
No, or prequel. Instead, this is, I actually want to put it down to, and this is for the jokes, probably closer to, oh man, Death Stranding. I could not think of the game. It's probably close to Death Stranding in that it's a delivery game. You are in a cyberpunk world. It's all very vague regarding your story. You've moved to Novalis, this city, and you're a delivery driver. You've been told delivery driving is quite risky. It doesn't always work out. You're not supposed to know what you're carrying, what it is, who you're taking it to. You're just supposed to pick it up, deliver. So a lot of the time, you're just picking up, delivering. You're exploring to an extent. You're finding, documents around. So the collectathon side of it really appeals to me. The story's now starting to break out a bit more. I'm about 8 hours in, which, to let you know, how long to beat says the whole game should only take 9 hours. So, and I did double, triple, quadruple check my game time on it, and that was actually it.
So you're not inflating
So
it,
I,
or
no, I'm not inflating it, but I am drawing the gameplay out a bit. But I'm searching every nook and cranny. I'm talking to as many people as I can to talk to, of which there isn't many. The world isn't very sort of deep. There are very limited platforms you can go to, but the game is a weird art style. I don't know how I would describe it. Weirdly, and everybody's gonna laugh when I say this, a mix between Minecraft and Lego. I guess some people would probably call that Roblox, but it's in there. The character's an unusual design, but actually, it's a really pretty game. It's a really interesting game. I haven't put it as game of the week because it isn't going to be everyone's cup of tea. Don't go out there and think, "Oh, Gav said this Cloudpunk game was pretty cool." If you are not going to be happy driving a car fairly fast, but it's a hover car, with some unusual talking, because there is quite a bit of talking, you can skip it, but I've tried to listen to as much of it as I can. There's a dog that's now an AI. I mean, that should tell you a lot of things about how the game is, but I've actually quite enjoyed it. I've actually quite enjoyed it, and I'm hoping to finish that over the next couple of days, I would hope. Otherwise, how long to beat is way out, or I've definitely missed the point of the game.
Sounds very different.
It's definitely different to anything I've played before. But it's certainly one that, I have not regretted picking up, and I'll tell you why, because when I open the Switch, the first thing that's on my mind is Immortals or Cloudpunk instead of Immortals, and then when I'm bored of Immortals, I'll jump on Cloudpunk. So it's enough that it's making me think, I actually want to find out what happens. But yeah, I think if you're a Cyberpunk world fan, I think try it, because I think you will enjoy a lot of the references and the feel and look of the city. So, yeah, Cloudpunk. Naturally, trying to fit in with the story that we'll cover later, there was an unusual game announced to come out in 2022, Project Triangle Strategy, which I hope is a working title.
You don't like it?
It's not catchy. There is a demo available, which is really weird. The demo starts off by saying, you load the game up, it starts off by saying, we're dropping you in the middle of the game. You will not know or be able to understand what's happening in the story. Well, hang on a minute. Surely I want to at least understand a bit,
Yeah,
because
to get it started.
yeah, and then I want to know like where it fits in, and then I'll be like, okay, actually, they've given me a taste of that world and I like it. And then all of a sudden you enter quite a lot of talking scenes, which isn't a bad thing. It's very much sort of Octopath Traveler sort of style. There is a talking phase, then there is an exploration phase, which allows you to walk around the world, talk to yep, that's right, more people. After, and I'm not joking, about 15 minutes of talking scenes, you then are able to actually move your character around. Bear in mind, that was 15 minutes of talking when, as I said at the start of the demo, it says, you will have no idea what's going on. And I'm happy to report I had no idea what was going on. So that fast forward button got hit quite a bit. I tried, listeners. And then it went to the exploration phase, which was, okay, really pretty art style. I mean, this is a seriously pretty game. I mean, Legend of Mana got announced at the Nintendo Direct as well. Very similar looking art style. It just was a very pretty game. On my TV, it looked unbelievable, particularly when you bear in mind it's a Switch game and it's sort of an isometric ish perspective game. Combat was, yeah, strategy sort of turn based, not really a lot to report on that. I'm yet to find out how many hours, if there are hours in the demo, not so sure. But yeah, it was
I was
okay.
about to say, it doesn't sound like you're very excited about it.
I must admit, I think it was just because the game. The art style looked really interesting to me, so I thought I'd give it a go. I didn't think that's how they'd take the demo. They also admit in the bit where they say you won't have a clue what's going on, the difficulty has been ramped up for the demo deliberately. So like it is really hard. If you're new to strategy, I mean I've played Wasteland, Road to Eden, and that sort of stuff. So I'm fairly versed in strategy games, but this was pretty hard. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't played a lot of it. I think an hour and a bit, maybe. And considering 15 minutes of it were just listening to people talk about something I really didn't know. So yeah. I played the Capcom Stadium. So this unusual thing that Capcom's come out with. I think Capcom have seen exactly what Nintendo has done and thought, that's a really good idea. We're going to charge an extortionate amount of money for it. So what Capcom have done is added this free download, which opens up this basically an interface on the Switch. Which looks like an arcade suite. And then you got two games for free, 1941, Battle for Midway 1941. And I think maybe for a limited time, Ghosts and Goblins.
Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah. I'm going to try and put more time to Ghosts and Goblins. I actually put maybe an hour into 1941. Wow, I didn't think I've never really been one for a bullet mania or whatever they're called. Oh my goodness, I was really loving it. So I actually, when I finished recording, I think that's probably what I'll play whilst watching something on the TV or something. And then I think I might look into Ghosts and Goblins. But I know Zach joked in the Discord about, oh, if you guys finish playing that before we release the next episode, I'll give you both $10.
I guess we'll never
Firstly,
release the next
$10.
episode
Yeah.
then.
I didn't know if he was making a joke about how long it is between each episode, or he was making a joke about how hard the game is. So yeah, unfortunately we're trying to stick to a schedule, Zach, so I can't even say it's going to be a month until our next episode. My problem with Capcom Stadium is, so it's a free download to download this sort of interface. You get 1941, as I say, Ghosts and Goblins currently. Then there is a 1980s, a 1990s, and a noughties pack. These are $11.99 each. And these are, and like, I'm not joking, they're arcade sort of screen size, so it doesn't fill the size of your Switch. It might do with some of the later games, but certainly with the earlier games, it doesn't. It's not even like, it's not even the equivalent of an arcade screen, because it's within the screen size of a Switch. There is all the rewind and all that sort of stuff, and save functionality and load and all that sort of stuff that you get within the NES and the SNES Online. My query is $11.99 okay to charge for? There are a varied number of games you get in each pack. I don't know. Capcom's been on a storm. I don't necessarily know if this is the right way about going after that nostalgia sort of thing. Yeah, but watch this space. You never know how that might change. They might bring out a subscription for it instead. I don't, I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, so as Matt said, we've been playing Siege as well. And so yeah, been enjoying that. We played it for the first time, or I played it for the first time for a while, and that showed initially,
Initially,
as
both of
I
us.
hadn't got a clue what was going on.
All those new
We streamed
maps.
it. Yeah, new maps, new doors. What's that door doing there? I remember one of us saying. So yeah, that game, and I got that itch. That's it. I clutched. Yes, you heard that correctly. I clutched around by
Beautiful.
diffusing, and that rush, man, that rush is unbelievable. Like, you don't get that in Immortals, you don't get that in Cloudpunk, you definitely don't get that in Project Triangle Strategy, and you might get it in Capcom when you look at the size of how much it costs. Yes, Siege. Oh my goodness, it's a gift that keeps on giving. I mean, we'll talk more about that later. We'll probably talk about the update then as well that Siege has got coming to it. But yeah, so that's what I've been playing. Now, Discord was going off this tweet, Matt, because we've been playing, well, no, let me correct that. I've been playing a lot of games as a good game podcast host. But you guys in the Discord have been playing an awful lot of some weird game about Vikings or something. Matt, what's this Valheim? Why aren't we playing it right now? Because apparently everybody else in the world is.
Yeah, everyone else in the world is. It sold 3 million copies in about 6 days. The Steam records are off the charts, where I think daily counts like 300,000 or 400,000 is around there. And a few of our listeners, some of our dedicated listeners, Zach is playing it. Joe Davila, the main streamer that we always have on here, he's been really into it. I've actually had a few conversations with him about it, and he is loving it. So it is essentially a survival game, but it's kind of it's in the vein of Rust and kind of Minecraft in the way that you're dropped into a randomly generated world and you are a Viking and you have to survive. There is no PvP aspect unless you toggle it on, but the world can only hold 10 people and you have to cooperatively survive together. You make buildings, you make your boats, and you sail around the world. And Joe Davila told me that it's an entire globe that is randomly generated. It's an entire world that is generated that you have to go explore. There's multiple bosses around, and the key difference between this and the other survival games is that there is a leveling up system, similar in the vein of Elder Scrolls or even RuneScape, if you played that old amazing game. You grow levels, you get better as you go on, as well as being able to build bigger and better things. And I know that Gareth and I have not played it yet. It is on my Steam wish list, so I'm hoping that I can get on this train sooner or later. But one of the things that stuck out to me the most is that I don't know if you've seen any gameplay of it. I watched Davila play it quite a bit on his stream. The game is absolutely gorgeous. It looks like a painting. It has a weird mixture of low polygon, but someone in Davila's stream said that it was what like Minecraft would be with ray tracing technology. And that is probably the best way to put it, that there is some low polygon textures in there mixed with new high definition, just 4K resolutions, and it's weird, but in an absolutely gorgeous way. And that's one of the huge things that stuck out to me. Have you got to see anyone play it in YouTube videos? Because, like I said, a few of our listeners have been playing, and they're absolutely loving it.
Yeah, so I watched I've seen Davila play it, which was good. I've seen some before you buy some game reviews and stuff. It looks like an impressive game. It ticks my box for survival games in that I don't have to worry about feeding myself all the time because I don't know what it is. I can do it in real life. But in the game, I'm just like, oh, that's so monotonous having to make sure that I've eaten this and I've drank that water and I can't drink that water because I get poisoned or whatever, all that sort of stuff. You're absolutely right. It looks unbelievable, particularly for a game that is in early access. The other thing I like about survival games is this survival game anyway, because with others, you get dropped on the map and the plan is just to survive. Well, guess what? I'm doing that in real life anyway. So why would I bother doing that in a game? What I like about this one is there is a story. There is a reason for you being there. There is a plan. There is goals for you to try and to achieve. The idea is to get out of Valheim. And move to Valhalla. What I like that. That, like I've just said, not as a word of warning, this is an early access game. So therefore it's not priced full price. I mean, it's £19.99 over here, probably about the same in the US, I think. So I mean, choose what you will do with that. Not many people have reported game breaking bugs, which is good. And it seems like the community is affecting how this game is being developed going forwards as well, which is really good. I mean, there's some people that are going to be concerned about jumping in because it's early access, they're still paying some money, etc. So just bear that in mind if you're yet to pick it up. But you cannot deny this game is huge. If you're playing it and we haven't heard from you already, let us know what you think of this game. If you are new to the podcast and you haven't joined our Discord server and you play this game, you'll fit right in because it's all everybody's been talking about, that and Devil May Cry 5. So Yeah, I definitely think this is going to be something that Matt, I know you'll definitely check out. I'll end up not playing it because survival games, man. But yeah, it certainly looks like it's an interesting game, but we definitely want to hear what you think of it and how you've got on playing the game in the Discord, on Facebook, and all the other sorts. We'll give those links at the end. So that's been a huge bit of news, but it wasn't necessarily quite news of the week. But now we'll jump into our news for the week. And we're going to start off with a topic very close to Matt's heart.
Oh my gosh, I knew that
sorry.
going
So would you believe it? Scalpers have feelings.
to
I'm not joking. So Forbes, which I've always put sort of with financial things and sort of bigwigs and the sort, had an interview with a PlayStation 5 scalper, or a scalper in general, because he does talk about other things that he scalps in this piece. And he talks about how he is concerned regarding basically the image that's been created through scalping. He says there's nothing wrong with it. He's buying the product at a certain price, then reselling it at a more expensive price. But hey, guess what? All retailers do that. Now, I've got to be honest, I don't disagree with that part of his argument, but I do disagree how they go about doing things. The bots, etc. I mean, Matt, are you really worried about what we think of you?
All right. First, while I understand what you're saying and I can understand what he's saying, and he might not be technically wrong, I still think there's an aspect of that definition that is wrong because while he compares himself to the Walmarts, the Targets, the GameStops, and the Best Buys of the world. With that, he is more of just the middleman. He gets the games and then he gets the systems and then he sells it to well-deserving people with loads of cash. The problem is that he is this now he's not one single scalper. He's a head of a little cook group, a little group of scalpers to get all these items. He's controlling the market. He is taking all of these very limited items, gathering up for himself and then being able to disperse it at a much higher cost. They're almost two times as much as what the PS5 is actually costing. The difference between him and Walmart and GameStop and stuff is that just because the demand is high doesn't mean that GameStop and Walmart are jacking up their prices to match that demand. They are keeping the same price that that Sony and Microsoft are putting the systems out there. He wants sympathy because they're getting bad publicity because he thinks that he's the good guy on giving people the systems that they want. Well, I understand that he's looking for a profit, and I guess I can understand that capitalist mindset, but you're doubling the price, you're tripling the price. You're not just upping it by $50 or $100. He's taking a $450, $500 system and then selling it for $1,000. It's absolutely atrocious and he's wanting sympathy. He tried to compare it to milk within this article that the farmers sell it for, what was it, 25 cents and then the Walmarts and stuff sell it for 70 cents a gallon or whatever it is. And he's comparing himself to that. But again, I go back to the fact that there are multiple farmers, there are multiple places selling all these milk shares. And the difference is that he's, if there's 25 bottles of milk, he would be the one that buys all 25 of them and then jacks up the price three or times more. I remember seeing this and I sent it to you in the middle of the night and I was like, I can't believe there are people out there that want sympathy while there are people out there that genuinely want a new console and are trying to get it, but these guys are scooping them up because it goes into the article. He explains that he has bots, he has systems, he has teams of people that are actively looking for these systems to come out and to immediately scoop them up. Now, there is one thing that I do believe that is good that came from this dirtbag coming on and trying to get sympathy from everybody.
Whoa!
So maybe I shouldn't have said that. That was rude. But anyways, he did bring up the fact that major retailers such as Best Buy and Walmart aren't doing their due diligence in selling these new systems because there have been reports of them getting stock and then posting them online to sell them at like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning when nobody's awake. So if they wanted the actual gaming public to get them, they should be starting to switch that time frame or doing what they can to get the games into their hands rather than the scalper's hands. But that still doesn't take away my negative thoughts on this scalping group. I shouldn't have said dirtbag. I apologize, but I do not hold them up to high regard, I should say.
I think just to add to what you've just said about them putting the retailers putting them on the market at like 3 in the morning. I'm not sure if this. I can't remember this guy talked about it in this article, but I've seen it elsewhere that the scalpers have bots which inform immediately when an item. I mean, and they talk about skateboards in this article, which they purchase. So if there is any item that is sort of in demand, then these guys have a bot which automatically alerts them and then automatically purchases them. And it also opens up another thing. You know, over here, there's that sort of 3D security system, which your bank talks to the retailer's website, which then confirms that the payment can go through, etc. Now, in Europe, it is a requirement that all new bank cards and bank accounts have this 3D security system, which ensures it reduces fraud. It should also reduce how quickly bots could do this, because bots that you're only going as fast as the bank talking to the retailer's website will go. What he also mentioned is that there is a really easy way of getting past all that. Preloaded cards, older cards, which don't have this 3D authentication bit. So it skips out and saves time, which means it gets to the checkout with the product even quicker. So I think there's lots here that needs looking at. Like you say, putting the product out at the appropriate time instead of making it just like a sitting duck. But also, maybe there needs to be something done about the whole checkout procedure. Why are the bots not being stopped? And, you know, I always seem to get that captcha thing where you've got to click on how many ones I've got lights in and rolls in. And it's like, seriously? I just want to buy this or I want to get that. But these guys seem to be able to bypass all of that. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating. So like you say, for the cheek of this guy to then be like, well, this hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Us at Gaming News Weekly, we're not fussed about that. And we just hope as many people can get access to games. Consoles that they want
at a fair price
sooner rather than later. At a fair price, yeah, absolutely.
That's the important part.
Yeah, absolutely. So we go from that interesting piece of news of people that, you know, taking advantage of gamers, unnecessarily charging them extortionate amounts of money, to BlizzCon 2021, which, to be honest, I'll put it out there. I actually forgot that this was coming up until Matt dropped it into the news for this week. I mean, there were a few announcements. BlizzCon is fairly niche. There's never any humongous announcement. at BlizzCon that affects the wider world. But there's been some good bits of information come out of this. I mean, I'll throw it your way, Matt. I mean, Diablo, at least can I say it's really good. We've seen some more Diablo 4 trailers. Hopefully that's going to come sooner rather than later. And we've got, a Diablo 2 sort of rework coming to all systems as well. This actually isn't a bad announcement. It's an awful lot better than, do you like Diablo? Have you got a mobile phone? Great.
Yeah, anything could have probably been better than that. They could have
Yeah.
mentioned just one thing and it would have been better than that horrid BlizzCon. So I think this is a decent lineup. Now, I'll go through real quick of what they announced. They announced a Blizzard Arcade collection of all their older games. They have a World of Warcraft Shadowlands patch, which is bringing in a new raid. New quests. That's the newest expansion pack that came out for World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft: The Burning Crusade Classic expansion is being added into the classic servers, which I know is huge because a lot of people that I knew that used to play World of Warcraft were excited for the classic, and this is kind of the last great expansion, I guess. I think there were within the next expansion or two is when the people started to liking the World of Warcraft expansion started to diminish. Hearthstone is getting more cards. Now the two big announcements were Diablo 4. There is no release date. If there is a release date, it's not going to be anytime soon. And I think the biggest release is going to be Diablo 2 Resurrected. And it's not a rework. I think that's important to mention that they have actually taken cues from Warcraft 3 Reforged, and people did not like Reforged. They were supposed to completely rework it, completely remaster it, give it all new graphics, just redo all the cutscenes, and they botched it. They absolutely botched it. There was no real new cutscenes. Everyone was super disappointed in it. They put out in their terms and agreement that they're anything that comes out of the multiplayer custom making aspect is property of Blizzard, which is in direct relation to Dota, because that came from Warcraft 3 and has exploded into a monstrosity in all of its own. So they Reforged really didn't go over well. They end up getting refunds for it. So Diablo 2 has actually taken a cue from that and is deciding to do very little to it. They've updated the graphics, but like the animations are still a little stilted, just like the old Diablo 2 was. They, if there's anything gameplay changing, they're adding toggles to it. I think like the biggest change that they're adding is adding a chest where you could put equipment into it, and that chest will be able to go in between different characters. I guess what I'm saying is that there's very minimal changes to Diablo 2 because they believe that it's as close to perfect as it can be, and they think that the fans believe that as well. And I asked a few of my friends who are huge Diablo fans more than I was, and they are happy with that actually. They want it to be as little touched as possible. They want just minor, up-to-date quality of life. So it seems to be that seems to be the biggest thing that came from it. And there was the Overwatch 2. Still really confused about that it's a sequel, but also not a sequel at the same time. But it's a great, healthy amount of information coming from a developer that has not really put out any brand new games in quite a long time, that is attached to a huge company that demands profits on a yearly basis. So I'm excited. It's nice to see that Diablo's coming to old consoles. Is this something that you're gonna try to pick it up? Because I mean, it's only been a PC exclusive, really.
Diablo 2, I tell you what, I will Definitely pick that game up on the Switch. I think that's a game destined for the Switch. I noticed that Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire
Game Pass.
has also come to the Switch, as well as being on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could sit at the Xbox for 900 hours playing Pillars of Eternity 2, whereas I probably would be okay playing it on the Switch. I don't know. But Diablo 2, I think I will love the idea of playing that on the Switch. I think that would look, and feel and play really good, that sort of pick up and put down sort of as you need it. I mean, Overwatch, couldn't care. To be honest, it
So it's just not a lineup for you, is what you're saying. It
yeah, I'm sure somebody out there is interested in some of it. I was trying to find out what's actually in the Blizzard arcade collection, a proper list, but there doesn't really seem a definitive list. But that is available. PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo Switch for $19.99, or as part of a Blizzard 30-year celebration collection bundle, but that is only on PC, that package. So yeah, I mean, would I be interested in that? I don't know, because I do seem to be going through this weird liking classical-ish. Or retro games, I should probably say, not classical. Sort of, yeah, retro-ish games, like I said in what I've been playing. So yeah, it's yeah, not one maybe I'll constantly check out and not be too excited about, but certainly Diablo 2. Certainly Diablo 2. Cool. Well, it's come to the middle part of the show, so we are going to pause for a moment and come right back. So we'll pause for an advert break. Cheers, guys. And we're back. So unsurprisingly, EA has cropped up in the news again. Different news to normal. EA's only gone and bought another studio. I mean, what a surprising studio, actually. Codemasters. If you're unfamiliar with Codemasters, they've actually done quite a lot. I mean, most famous for currently right now, the Dirt series, for the WRC games, the World Rally Championship games, Formula One. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Formula One games. They've previously done shooters, Operation Flashpoint, which I do actually remember playing. When you mentioned it earlier, I thought, I'm sure I played that on the sort of first PS3, Xbox 360 era, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they've certainly gone around and yeah, produced some fairly standout games. EA has gone and purchased them for 1.2 billion
Billion.
dollars, $1 billion. This comes after, and actually I didn't realize this, Take-Two had attempted to purchase them, but that attempt had failed. It's interesting to know where EA wants to take Codemasters going forwards. EA obviously already has the Need for Speed series, which they run. But they don't have, a sort of organized or a sort of race car series as such, to my knowledge. So this will certainly fit in with the Formula One, the World Rally Championship, Dirt, alongside Madden, alongside FIFA. I mean, I just really hope, Matt, and I'm sure you're going to share this too. We're not now just going to see Codemasters disappear off the face of the earth. I mean, what's your take on this? Are you a Codemasters fan? Where's your thoughts at?
So, like you said, you went over the brief summary of the games. I did know they did the Dirt franchise, and that's probably their biggest franchise, especially going into this new generation. The Dirt 5 has been like the standout game for the Series X and the PS5 to showcase their graphical power. But I went through it, I opened it up, and that's when I brought up the Operation Flashpoint. I remember playing that game and absolutely loved it. Dragon Rising was my thing. They did Clive Barker's Jericho, which was a very niche horror, demon, hellish kind of game, squad game, shooting. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But the main game that I remember was also Overlord. The first one, I think, was somewhere around the launch title for Xbox 360. And I really enjoyed it. So there are some games of Codemasters that I do enjoy. So I think the biggest worry of any studio that gets swallowed up by EA is, are they going to turn into Visceral Games, essentially? For anyone who is not familiar, Visceral Games was the developers of the Dead Space games, the critically acclaimed Dead Space games. I love the first one, love the second one. Then the third one didn't do as well. EA shifted them over, and they helped out with Army of Two franchise. They did a little bit on the battle. They did Battlefield Hardline, the cops and robbers version of Battlefield. But ultimately, what ended up happening is that EA just destroyed them, dismantled them, spread them out among their other developers. And I think that's what worries me the most. Now, there has been some success stories like Respawn Entertainment. I absolutely love them. They are the former Infinity Ward. They did Modern Warfare 1, 2, Titanfall, Titanfall 2, and they did the Apex Legends, which is a huge success. So there are some success stories, but there's BioWare struggling under the EA flagship, even though they've had some success games, but recently they've been struggling. So it's worrisome. There's some good talent there, and it's worrying for the developers themselves to see if they crush under the EA weight. Now, on the EA side, this is a fantastic buy regardless. If they have to dismantle Codemasters because they fail, oh well, because they ended up getting a whole lot of IPs, like you said. There are IPs that will fill the gaps that EA is missing with the realistic driving, such as Dirt, the Formula franchise. Project Cars, I believe, falls under that. So regardless of how Codemasters ends up, EA will benefit because they are gaining more IPs that will fill their library to put into EA Play and to build upon, regardless of how Codemasters does. But I do hope, now that's really negative, but I do hope Codemasters, you know, comes out of this just like Respawn, bigger and better and more, you know, more profitable, more successful. But this is very interesting. It's not super surprising though, because people are scooping up developers left and right. Microsoft went on a huge buying spree. Sony bought Insomniac Games. So it's just, everyone's just trying to scoop up their IPs to be able to sell their console or platform. So I hope this goes well. What are your thoughts on this?
To be honest, I pretty much said everything I was going to say on it, but you have just raised a really good point, and that is EA Play. What now does that open up? I mean, could we be playing Flashpoint again because it's on EA Play? I would definitely be up for trying those games again. You know, is the Formula One game series going to be coming to that? I mean, they're already on Game Pass, but sort of a year or so old on there. And then I think one of the Dirts on Game Pass, but what does that open up?
The newest Dirt just got announced that it is coming to Game Pass. Dirt 5, the Series X one's coming to Game Pass, so that's pretty awesome.
And it wouldn't surprise me if it's because it's going to become a an EA Play game, something like that. Who knows? But it does open things up. You know, some World Rally Championship games that would be pretty cool to play if they're on EA Play. They've been on Game Pass before. So, yeah, hopefully they don't disappear into the ether. We're not hearing about them being shut down because they are a fairly large studio. So it would be a shame to lose so much. Hopefully not all the talent disappears, as they have done in other sort of developers when they've been purchased by EA. So we're going to have to watch the space with that one. I mean, 1.2 billion is not an insignificant amount of money. It is only 1/7 of what Microsoft spent on Bethesda. Well, ZeniMax, I should say. So it's not an insignificant amount of money. So I think EA is going to want to certainly reap as much of that back as they can. Speaking of reaping as much out of something as they possibly can, Nintendo, who we were starting to think 2 months into the year, guys, does Nintendo even know we're in a new year? Because we've not heard a lot from them. And then they go and drop a tweet, Nintendo Direct coming up, 17th of February. What do you know?
No big deal.
No big deal. They mentioned in that tweet that there was going to be talk of a new Smash character and other games to be coming out in 2021. I've got enough to say just on what I've just said there. But anyway, we watched the Direct. We actually had lots of really great interaction during the Direct in the Discord. So thank you guys for interacting with us on that. That was really good. We look forward to doing that on further announcements. Like I say, if you want to be part of that, listen to the end of the episode and we'll explain how you could join that. Matt, before I throw it over to you, I just want to go through some of the headlines. So the new Smash character was the Xenoblade Chronicles 2's Pyra and Mythra, which I'm not going to learn right. So one of them had an awful English accent, but it was like really jarring as an English accent. I mean, you could tell it was not an English person putting on an English accent. I mean, I'm not blown away by it. I think if you're a Xenoblade Chronicles fan, you might be. I don't know. I don't know how important they are in there. They're coming in March 2021. I mean, the biggest news, maybe, was The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD. Now, in the Discord, I had thrown it out there to say, wouldn't it be cool to see a Zelda Anniversary Edition sort of pack come out, maybe three games, a bit like what they've done with Mario. We didn't get that. Instead, we got Skyward Sword HD coming July 16th, 2021. That was a Nintendo Wii title. Alongside that, another money grab, sorry, not money grab, Skyward Sword theme Joy-Cons were announced, which do look really nice.
Yeah, they do.
Splatoon 3 was announced for Nintendo Switch. Mario Golf Super Rush. Mm-hmm. Project Triangle Strategy. Mario Golf is coming June 25th, 2021. Project Triangle Strategy was announced for the Switch and the demo was available. Hence why I played it. That's not coming till 2022. Some random Star Wars game was announced for the Nintendo Switch, and that's coming in 2021. Fall Guys, which was announced at the Nintendo Direct, but was actually also going to be coming to the Xbox at the same time. Weird how they chose to announce it at the Nintendo Direct. Unsure why. That's coming summer 2021. Hyrule Warriors Expansion Pass. Ninja Gaiden Master Collection announced for Nintendo Switch. That's coming this year. Super Mario items coming to Animal Crossing. Miitopia is arriving in May 2021. That was a Nintendo 3DS game. Outer Wilds coming to Switch in summer 2021. Two Famicom Detective games, which I believe have never been released outside of Japan before, so they're brand new to the rest of the world. And Samurai Warriors, heading to the Switch. I mean, this one's huge. A Legend of Mana Remastered, announced for the Nintendo Switch. I believe it's the PS1 version of Legend of Mana, I think. More Monster Hunter Rise details, Tales for the Borderlands announced for the Nintendo Switch, Capcom Arcade, which that was just dropped. A small little bit of news that, well, they treated it like small news. Stubbs the Zombie is coming to Switch in March, as well as for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. That's March 16th. And No More Heroes 3 is coming to the Switch in August 2021. Then there was countless other things, quite a lot of which were 2022 details, Neon White. Yeah, lots of other things. What I've just said sounds like an awful lot. I mean, then there was lots of other bits. Hades getting a physical release for the Switch. Matt, I've thrown a lot at you. Why don't you tackle the key points that stood out to you? What did you think of the direct?
So I don't think any news about new games coming out is bad news to say. But I guess the general consensus is that people wish that there was more to the Nintendo Direct. Not that it was bad, just wishing that there was more. I know I don't speak for anyone, everyone, but Skyward Sword I would probably say is the more divisive Legend of Zelda in the collection of them, that it was a good game, but there were some people that just didn't take to it as much as the other ones. And for example, like you said, the collection of Zelda games having like Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, or Wind Waker, or even Skyward Sword all paired into that, I would have bought that immediately. I loved Ocarina of Time. Majora's Mask is my favorite Legend of Zelda. So it was a little disappointing that a game that is divisive is just getting a Wind Waker HD kind of feel to it. I'm excited for Splatoon 3. It is probably Nintendo's really only exclusive shooting game, and it is actually done really well. I have Splatoon 2 on the Switch now, and I enjoy it. It is Nintendo's shooting, third-person shooter competitive game. I loved Mario Golf when it first came out. I think what on the N64 or the GameCube, the first one. Anyways, I remember playing it, loving it. So it's awesome to see that they're coming out with a new one. Fall Guys, like you said, is multi-platform for Xbox, but it is cool to see that it's coming from Sony. Hopefully, it has cross-play. If not, then it's going to be very disappointing. But really, besides that, in the Legends of Mana remaster, there really isn't any heavy hitters. Apex Legends is coming to the Switch, but that's been out for a while. There's enough to get excited about, but there isn't enough to make the world stop from what it's doing. The Star Wars is being made by a company that focuses on free-to-play mobile games, so I'm not even gonna even touch on that. It's I'll see how it is when it comes out, but the Breath of the Wild 2 isn't there was no real information besides information saying that there's going to be more information later on in the year. It's exciting to see what they're cooking and that Nintendo is still pushing out stuff, because unlike Sony and Microsoft, you know, they have their Game Pass and their PlayStation Now that they continue to get games into that have in the streaming. They're building past their console gaming. Nintendo is still kind of regulated to the Switch. They're not experimenting yet with streaming. They're not experimenting outside of a console, unlike Sony and Xbox. So Nintendo lives and dies by their exclusives. Luckily, Nintendo's exclusives are super expensive, and rightfully so, because so many of their exclusives are almost 10 out of 10s every single time they come out. Nintendo does really well with their games, so I'm not bagging on them because their exclusive games are amazing. But I guess it's just a long way of saying that it's awesome to see new games, but there wasn't anything that really stood out or is warranted much attention to, at least in my opinion.
I mean, I threw it out into the Discord after the direct, Nintendo's exclusives for 2021: Pokemon Snap, Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, Monster Hunter Rise, Mario Golf, Miitopia, No More Heroes 3. I mean, I put into the group not a bad lineup, not a lot of standout. A couple of people noted, including yourself, Matt, that Pokemon Snap is pretty big.
I forgot,
But, I mean, what concerns me a little bit and leaves me with a, you know, sort of bad taste, Skyward Sword, you know, is going to be full price. You know it's going to be £60 or whatever. And they've given the one thing they have changed is they've removed the ability, they've given you the option, I should say, of removing motion controls and keeping motion controls as it was a Wii game. Like, I think that is pretty good. Like you say, a fairly divisive game, but maybe without motion controls, it might be seen as a better
That's true.
Game. Splatoon 3, I just want to really quickly note on that. The trailer had it looking a lot like an RPG. Like, the whole creative character...
I didn't see the trailer.
The trailer had it very much looking like an RPG. There was sort of create character, there was very specific stats, there was a side-scrolling section. It looked different, you know, it looked different. I wondered if, you know, there was a scene with the Eiffel Tower upside down in the desert. You know, obviously, people may not know this, but Splatoon is a post-apocalyptic game. In that, you know, the humans aren't really there anymore. It's run by squid. Octopusy people. I'll be honest. I put it in the Discord. The game I'm most excited for that was announced was that Mario Golf Super Rush.
Yeah.
Man, that looked fun, particularly the speed golf, which I sort of explained as it looked to me as Mario Kart with a golf swing occasionally. So I could see myself playing that and rather enjoying it. All in all, not set the world on fire with what they announced. I feel like, the directs are just typical Nintendo. It's just starts, and then bang, 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 and then finishes. Yeah, it's like, okay, cool. They don't build up. There's no, you know, crescendo. It is just bang, 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 and then there's some gems, maybe every fourth thing that's announced. So, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm gutted there isn't a Breath of the Wild 2 news of any kind coming. Soon, we've just got to wait for a further announcement. So they'll be announcing more.
Yep, they announced that there's more information, just more information at a later date.
So that was a Nintendo Direct. Like we've mentioned, we talked about it like mad in the Discord. If you want to know more about that, tell you how to get to the Discord at the end of the show so you can join that conversation. Matt, why don't you go through what the games of the week are for this week?
So for the games of the week, we're kind of just doing like an umbrella of Ubisoft games because none of the games that we played, either we put enough time into or stuck out to us, such as your Cloudpunk driving weird game. Besides Immortal and Rainbow Six Siege are the two games that we're really putting under this umbrella for Game of the Week. And like I said before, Rainbow Six Siege has been a game that Gareth and I actually became friends and bonded over initially, the very first game that we played together, and he realized that I was a lot better than him at Rainbow Six Siege. And that's kind of where that started. but it's been there since the very beginning. It is an amazing game. It has only grown and gotten bigger and better. We were surprised. We mentioned a little bit, but we jumped back on, and the game was almost brand new. Every map we went into was completely reworked. There was doors where there weren't supposed to be doors. There was windows where there weren't supposed to be windows. There's operators with gadgets that hurt me that I had no idea how to do anything against. It was reinvigorating to play almost a new game that I haven't played in so long with new aspects, new gadgets, new weapons. And like you said, Rainbow Six Siege still gives you that rush, that adrenaline rush of I can do this, I can clutch it, because the time to kill is so high, but it's you could take on the entire team and still win it like Gareth did. It's just a very finely tuned game that they've continued to build upon and improve upon, and I am still happy to say that it's our game of the week, because rightfully so. Now Immortals, we've talked about this for the last 2, 3 weeks. It's still our game of the week too, because we're still putting time into it. I'm still holding by that it is better than Breath of the Wild. I'm still enjoying it more than Breath of the Wild. I still enjoy the combat. It still looks amazing, and I don't have much else to say on it besides that you need to give it a try. It's going to be Ubisoft's unsung hero, and I hope that it gets a sequel that is bigger, better. Maybe not bigger. I like the map probably about the size that it is. If it was bigger, I think it'd be a little too bloated, like some other Ubisoft games. But I like it. It's the perfect size. I like what it does. It doesn't take itself too seriously. And I might consider picking up the expansion pass just because I like it so much. Have I yet? No, because I bought Call of Duty and I'm already going to get tore up for that. So I'm going to wait on buying anything else because my backlog is kind of backed up. But yeah, game of the week, Ubisoft, Rainbow Six Siege. You haven't played it, played it. If you haven't played Immortals, play it.
Absolutely. Not really a lot else I can particularly add to that. Siege, there is even more coming to it. They have announced a new operator with a drone that's got a bomb on it.
More map reworks.
Crimson Heist, more map reworks, more. Yeah, just opportunities to get shot without realizing it, shot by a sledge that's got his gun in the middle of his chest because he's turned around right at the last minute before the kill cam's got there.
People
If
not
you're
scanning on
unsure
their
about it,
drones.
yeah, people not scanning on their drones. Pinging was an issue for Matt yesterday. Pinging was a huge issue for Matt. I think if you're not sure if you'd like it, watch a really good chilled out streamer play it. By really good, I mean just somebody that's, in it for a bit of a laugh and a joke, because sometimes serious gamers might put you off Siege a little bit, might look a bit sweaty, might look a bit. Yeah, no, actually, you can have an awful lot of fun with it. We did yesterday, particularly when you pull off some shots that you just know you should not have won that gunfight. Definitely pick it up if you can. It's always dropping down to silly prices. If you've got Game Pass, it's on Game Pass, so give it a play. Enough said, really, on that one. Enough said. Man, it's going to be an interesting trivia session, this one.
Oh no.
As listeners know, or may not know, I try to pride myself on choosing a topic of which to cover. And Matt, I know you did the same last week, and you've done previously too. This week's topic is going to be firsts for game developers. They're all going to be first games that they released. Some might surprise you, some might not, because you won't have a clue, because you weren't born or whatever. Some of these are famous, others less so. I mean, it'll just be funny anyway. So they're all multiple choice, because I
Good.
thought maybe you might try and deduce it from that. If you can, I would be blown away. So I was thinking maybe you get a point for the answer, and then if you want to throw out a year, you can get a bonus point. So Matt, there are 8 points available in this round of trivia.
No pressure.
No pressure, but this would make you the highest scoring trivia player ever of our 30 episodes that we've been doing this. So,
how are you even keeping track of what the highest is now?
No, I'm guessing. I'm just doing like what we do with our Nintendo time or gameplay time. So, first question while I throw my book across the room. What was EA's Electronic Arts first game? Is it A, Archon, The Light and the Dark? B, Axis? C, Hard Hat Mac? D, FIFA?
Oh, man. Because... all right, say it one more time. Because none of those games were the games I was thinking. I really thought... I thought it was going to be Madden, but Madden was definitely not on your list. So if you could, you know, start over.
So A, Archon, The Light and the Dark. B, Axis. C, Hard Hat Mac. And D, FIFA. And I do just want to point out for those eagle-eared listeners, the last few times I've done trivia, I have started with A and the answer, and then gone 2, 3, and 4. It annoys me just as much as I'm sure it annoys you. But anyway, what's your answer then, Matt?
Okay. All right. Man, I don't know where to start because I will say this. I know EA started developing games before I was born. So, they started developing games late 1980s. So, it was before the 1990s. Man, I am debating between Axis and Archon. Why? Because most games, typically, most developers, I mean... Now, this isn't a fact. This is just my observation. Is a lot of game developers typically start with some sort of, at least in that day and age, because that was around the Wolfenstein and Doom era, where most games started with a World War II Axis Germany game because it was such an easy concept. But was it their first? What were the other two options besides Archon and Axis?
Hard Hat Mac, FIFA.
It's not FIFA. Because if it was anything, it would be Madden, and probably sports games came later because that would take them licensing it, and if it's going to be their first game, they would need more capital to get that. So not FIFA, Hard Hat Mac, I didn't even know that was a game. I'm just going to throw that one out. So it's either between Axis or Archon. And my gut's telling me Axis, but I'm going to go against my grain and say Archon. I'm not going to give a year. I'll just say late 1980s, so 1987 or 8. It's in the 1980s, but I'm going to go with 87 or 88.
Okay. So the correct answer was Axis, 1983. That game came out.
I went against my gut! Are you kidding me?
But you weren't altogether wrong. Axis, and then it was Archon, The Light and the Dark, and then Hard Hat Mac, and then FIFA was 1,000 years later. Yeah, Axis 1983. So that's a no and a no. Just again. Let me say it louder. A no and a no. You got that wrong.
Oh, so close! This is going to be one of those episodes where I dance around the answer again, isn't it?
So that was the hardest one. So we got the hardest one out of the way.
Okay, good.
What was CD Projekt Red's first game? Was it A, Baldur's Gate? B, Saints Row 2?
Saints
C,
Row 2.
Witcher 1? And D, Witcher 2?
Okay, well, it's obviously not Witcher 2. Did they make Saints Row? I didn't think so. Okay. What was A? Man, you threw me off with Saints Row 2. I really don't think they made that, but what was A? 'Cause C was.
A was Baldur's Gate, B is Saints Row 2, C is Witcher 1, D is Witcher 2.
Baldur's Gate. A CD Projekt Red wasn't even around with Baldur's Gate. At least I don't think so. So definitely not Baldur's Gate. Definitely not Witcher 2. Saints Row 2? Did they make that? No. That's a trick. I'm just gonna go with the Witcher 1. And 2007?
Okay. So what was the CD Projekt Red's first game? It was indeed Witcher 1,
Okay.
and it was indeed 2007. But when you asked, Baldur's Gate, CD Projekt Red were asked to work on a Baldur's Gate port, which eventually turned into Witcher
Which
1. The project was scrapped and it became Witcher 1. They provided assistance with Saints Row 2.
they provided, really? That's so interesting.
But they weren't the lead developer, in which I would have had to have said then Saints Row 2. But that would only have been by a year. And then Witcher 2, obviously. I wondered if you might mix up the Baldur's Gate Witcher 1 thing, and then think, well, no, they were working on Witcher 1, somebody else did. And that's why it must be Witcher 2. But anyway, well done. So that's 2 points. This will be an interesting one for you. And you're going to have to listen really carefully to the answers now.
So you have to repeat it like three times then.
What was the first Gearbox Software's game? Was it A, James Bond Nightfire, the PC port? B, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, the PC port. C, Half-Life. Ooh, I don't know why I pronounced that there. Opping Force is what I've put, which was a PC port, was a PC game, sorry. And D, Half-Life, the PlayStation 2 port.
Okay. I have a sneaking suspicion that I remember hearing about this on one of the YouTube videos. My gut is telling me Half-Life the PC port because I think they started off doing the PC ports. But go over the options one more time.
I've realised what the word was that I spelled correctly. A, James Bond Nightfire, a PC port. B, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, a PC port. C, Half-Life, Opposing Force, which was a PC game. And D, Half-Life, which was a PlayStation 2 port.
Oh, so you have two Half-Life games in there. Oh, okay. So I do remember that their first game they made was a very it was a Half-Life port. Wait, did Half-Life even come to the PS2? Oh, it probably did. I don't remember because I didn't even know that CD Projekt Red did assistance on Saints Row 2, which still astounds me to this moment. It is a Half-Life game because their first few games, actually, before they really started making true IPs, or at least the majority of their first games, were all ports. They were like a main developer of port games, porting games to other systems. Man, for Half-Life, it would. I know it's Half-Life. I don't. The only thing I think of is probably the PC, the Opposing Force. Just because it took a while, if I don't even know if it went to the PS2. If it did, it took a while because Half-Life 2 was such a PC-driven game. So I'm gonna go with Half-Life, the Opposing Force. Now, what year was that? Now it's now the answer. It's Half-Life 1, the Opposing Force, because Half-Life 2, Episode 1 and 2. So man, that's around 2000, plus or minus a few years. And It's around 2000. I'm probably just gonna stick with 2000. That doesn't sound right though. 98? No. I'm just going on. I'm gonna go with 99. I'll go in the middle.
Okay. So, what was the first Gearbox Software's game? It was Half-Life: Opposing Force, and that was 1999.
Woo! All right. I'm making up for the EA fumble.
Yes, Half-Life did come to PlayStation 2, and it was Gearbox that brought it. Yeah.
That's awesome. I did not know it actually came to the... I need to start realizing that the answers that you give me actually did happen instead of you just trying to throw me off. But now that I said that, the next time you do this, you're going to pick random games that never existed, and I'm going to hate it.
No, I did think about doing that initially, and then I thought it'll either be too easy, and then I remembered the whole Wii Sports Resort Island. Finally, which of these was one, so crucially with this one, because it was a bit tricky with Ubisoft, which of these was one of the first games developed by Ubisoft? So I just want to clarify here, there is one clear defined ahead of others in this list, if that makes sense. But it was tricky because several games came out at the same time. But one of these is far further ahead than any of the others. A, Prince of Persia. B, Rat Race. C, Puffsy Saga. D, Night Hunter.
All right, same again. Persia. Man, that...
A, Prince of Persia. B, Rat Race. C, Puffsy Saga. D, Night Hunter.
Did Prince of Persia come out first? No. This is probably the one that I have no idea. This is probably just be a guess. So say them again. Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia, Rat Race, Puffsy Saga, Night Hunter.
Prince of Persia. I don't even have a thought process for this one. I don't know any Ubisoft games that went back that far.
How do you know how far? You haven't given me a year yet.
I don't even know where to start. Let's start with the year. I'm going to guess it's probably late 1980s. I don't think it's Prince of Persia, but the last time I said that was Axis, and I got that one wrong. Prince of Persia probably came... They probably made the obscure games that... Rat Race... I'm gonna go with Rat Race, and I'll do like 1987.
So the only game I made up on this list of games across all four questions was Rat Race.
Wait, what? That was the only wrong one?
Yeah, that was the only one that was made up completely. And it wasn't 1987. The correct answer was Prince of Persia. And it was 1989. It was a humongous hit.
No,
there was even talk of them bringing the game back out recently. Then there was talk of a remaster of Sands of Time. And then everybody said, actually, no, we'd rather the NES one came out. There are some times I really do wish that this podcast was... video recorded as well. I mean, to be fair, you didn't do too bad. You got 4 out of 8.
I did worse than I expected. Man, I even said Prince of Persia. What is... I don't go with my gut feeling. The Axis, I knew... I worked that through my mind, and I didn't go with Axis. I guess Prince of Persia, but then I talked myself out of it. Man, I'm just so utterly disappointed in myself. At least I got like the decades right. 1980, what, the EA was 1980 some
Yeah,
beginning '80s.
you were bang on with pretty much everything. Yeah.
Bombs.
Roughly.
All right, yeah, I'm done. Let's wrap this up. I'm upset.
Wow. Are you okay enough to take people through the social medias, Matt? Where can people talk to us?
Yes, I'll muster up the strength to get through it. All right. If you want to continue to follow us and listen to me be disappointed in myself about my gaming knowledge, our main avenues of social media is Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We recently, well, not recently, we've had Discord for a while, but Gareth took his technological fingers and spruced it up and made it to a real Discord channel. We actually had, like Gareth said, a whole conversation on Nintendo Direct while that was coming out. We opened up another channel for content sharing. One of our listeners, Snagamag, has been putting out quality content from Valorant. If you have any gameplay or pictures, drawings, anything that you want to put in there, it would be awesome to see. But yeah, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we have an email, but just hit us up on that. We love bringing you guys into the show. We love bringing your questions, your games, your thoughts. Like I say this on every other podcast, this podcast isn't Gareth and mine. This is all of our podcasts. This is for everyone who likes games or technology in general. So yeah, come hang out with us in the Discord. It's a good time.
Absolutely. Definitely do that. Leave reviews on whichever podcasting service you're listening to us on. Like, share, let us know in the Facebook posts, let us know on Twitter. It just encourages us to want to keep doing this. Not that really we need a lot of encouragement. We do it out of, well, we just love talking about games. We love talking to each other. So therefore it's cool to do that. But if there's any way you think we could improve it, anything you want to see, anything you didn't like, hit us up. Maybe don't do it this episode because Matt's already pretty down about
I'm too hard on
everything,
myself.
it seems. Yeah, too hard on himself. And it was more EA news, wasn't it? So definitely do that. What a great episode. I've enjoyed this. We've been able to talk Nintendo Direct, which has been awesome. I've actually played some games this week.
Yeah,
Hopefully, I'll keep it up for another week.
I'm gonna have to try to catch up or surpass you for this next week.
So we've got that to look forward to this week coming. As always, this has been your Gaming News Weekly.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.